as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be
oh, man,
run.
It's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a...
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma. And yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Boot Scoot McGee. What's up, dude?
Getting a little consistency back in our lives. We did a remote podcast last night, which if you did not listen to that yesterday, I always mix that up. We did a podcast with Amanda Hirsch from Not Skinny But Not Fat, and it went really well. We recapped VPR.
Yep.
And we had a great time. So go back and listen to that before you listen to this. Today's episode will be Southern hospitality centric. So we're going to get into a little office drama, a little relationship drama, and just pretty much everything else that goes on. So that's what we're going to be covering today. We're going to have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and I really feel like this show has hit its stride late in the second season. It's been a solid second season overall, but they're really starting to get the nuances of reality TV. They're playing the game now. They're really playing the game. They're starting to get pitted against each other involuntarily sometimes, but the petty shit is starting to boil over, and we've kind of been waiting for it. We saw glimpses of it last year. This season has really, really delivered over and over again, and if you're not watching the show, there are some growing pains with it. Like, there's some stuff that you're going to get, like, kind of aggravated about. But they're really hitting a stride, and this show is so much fun. It's entertaining. It's an easy watch, and it's got a solid cast of characters. So if you're not watching, you're missing out. You're going to miss the boat. This one's going to be big, and yep, you're going to be one of those people that jumps in again at, like, season 5 or 6. You're not an OG.
Not only are you not an OG, but you're just creating more work for yourself, because then you're going to have to go back and rewatch the first 4 or 5 seasons, and you're going to hate yourself, because yep, we have told you all along, just jump into it. Now's a great time to just jump into it, because like Steel said, there's a lot of growing pains, but I feel like right now they understand how everything works, and there's players who don't quite understand what's going on and they fall for everything, and there's players that have started to understand what's going on and they're starting to take some sort of strategy shape, if you will, to kind of go after each other. So it's really enjoyable TV. Like we've said before, it's one of those shows that you can just throw on in the background and pay attention to the important points. Obviously, there's a lot of fun that's going to be had because they're younger and they're just living in the hospitality industry, having a great time.
They're just living in the food and bev world.
Food and bev. Hell yeah.
Just some food and bev. I got nothing. Food and...
I don't know where you were going to go with that.
I'm trying to think of a clever name to like call themselves in regards to being in food and bev.
I got nothing for you. Food and bevies? No, I guess bevies is kind of beverages
it's just
already.
A word. I'll think about it.
Okay,
I'll get back to you on that.
I feel like you've thought about things before, and I don't really hear back.
I forget them almost instantly. I'll forget about
red.
This conversation in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you leave me on red. It's almost like you give me a thumbs up.
I leave you on red a lot, and then you get upset sometimes, and I have to remind you that I have like 200 text messages, not because I'm popular, because I'm the guy that'll see it, read it, and go, cool, and then put...
I don't understand how that's any better than me giving you a thumbs up when I... At least I'm acknowledging.
It's not at all.
Would you like it better if I put a heart on it? Like, would that change?
The heart implies that you care more, I think. The thumbs up just implies it's... You know what? Honestly?
I saw it.
Replace the thumbs up with the middle finger. It feels like.
I'm going to put my red receipts on for you.
No, don't do that.
Just for you. You can do that.
That'll give me anxiety because then I'll be like, oh God, is he okay? Because you read it.
Are you kidding me? I would never do that. I don't want people to know when I read their text messages.
Oh God, I would be. People would unfriend me in real life. They'd be like, you read this a week ago.
Oh,
like, I know and I forgot, but I love you.
You know how many times I've like tossed my phone like 5 feet away from me because I'm like, I'm not dealing with this right now.
Oh, I did it today.
Yeah.
I did it today. You texted me and I'm like, I'm not
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works out. It's called friendship.
True. I texted you back today.
You did.
Yeah. But as Shooter said, this is a Soho episode, but I do want to do this real quick. We haven't done it in a couple of weeks just because everything's been nuts. Let's do a quick little power ranking before we dive in.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The funny thing is we talk about all of these shows, and I have to strain my brain to figure out what the fuck's even on TV right now.
I got you. You ready? You got Beverly Hills. You got Miami.
Are you ranking right now?
No. Just giving you.
Why don't you just rank if you know them?
Okay. I'm going number one for me right now. Honestly, might be Southern Hospitality after this week. Only because the other shows are kind of in that mid-season lull, so they're
people
not.
We're gonna think we're getting paid by Soho.
I was gonna say that when we were talking about it at the beginning. People are 100% gonna think that. We're not. Like, if
we're
you
on
guys think,
payroll.
If you guys think that Bravo or Bravo celebrities have people on their payroll that they actively pay people, it's just simply untrue.
I don't know about that.
You don't think that?
Fuck no, dude.
Really?
There's definitely some people out there that get paid by Bravo celebrities.
Interesting. Well, how do we get on that train?
I don't know.
That's the thing. We're not above it.
We've said that a million times. Even when we weren't that big, we talked about that. Yeah. Like, just send us something. Gifts.
If you send us some of your merch, we'll be nice. We're easy.
Yeah, we are pretty easy. No, we're not. We're not that easy, actually.
No, we'd
actually could send us merch, and we're still gonna make fun of you.
That's exactly what we would do. We would get it and be like, they think they can buy us. We would flip our script immediately.
Yeah.
But like anyway,
we're leaving them on red in a different sense.
Yeah, see, it's a full circle. Yep. Love a full circle moment. But okay, Soho first, Miami second, Beverly Hills third.
You're putting VPR down?
Oh, fuck, see?
See?
VPR. Okay, but VPR is still early on, so I'm going to go Soho 1, VPR 2, Miami 3, Beverly Hills 4. And is that all we got right now?
That's all we got right now.
Yeah, that's my lineup.
That's a solid foursome. I'm going to put... Just because we're getting towards the end, and we've got finales coming up next week, I'm going to put Beverly Hills 1, VPR 2, Miami 3, Soho 4, but it's really close together.
I agree with
the
that.
The funny thing is, this happens to us all the time, when we're actually enjoying the shows, and I would say all four of these shows are pretty easy watches.
Oh, totally.
We're not pissed off about a whole lot of things, and you know, there's some news in the Miami world that we're going to have to talk about tomorrow, which is a lot of fun for us to talk about.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's just, I don't dread watching them. And look, through the course of Bravo, the annual Bravo year, the calendar, if you will, there's a lot of shows where we're like, oh, dude, like, we've got 10 episodes left of this. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't deal with it. And sometimes we just stop talking about them. Shout out Potomac.
Shout out Potomac. Or sometimes our listeners won't stop talking about them, so we're forced to watch. Shout out OC.
Yeah, I know.
This is what we do for you guys. We will watch. If you guys were clamoring, that's the funny thing. We've had a few people say, where's Potomac? Maybe five. Like, that's it.
Well, the funny thing is when we were on Watch What Happens Live, shameless plug, we had a lot of people talking about Potomac. I mean, Andy talked about it. Heather was talking about it. Yeah. And they were only talking about it in a way that's, you know, it's really boring.
Yeah.
You're getting,
unfortunately,
it's a really bad product right now. So, look, if it's a bad product, we're not going to talk about it. However, I completely forgot today's Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm a true Brav bro here. All of our listeners, you're my Valentine today.
No.
You can't do that.
I don't want to. Devin's my Valentine.
No, I know. I'm just
Devin
saying.
Devin Poppy are the only Valentine.
Yeah, but now I'm going to be a fan favorite.
Oh, it's Lou's birthday today, too.
Oh, fuck it. Never mind. You guys are gone. I'm Lou's Valentine.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Lou is Steele's dog, by the way.
Good clarification.
Just to be clear.
But that takes us right into the episode, and we start out with a harrowing scene, and that is Trevor moving Maddie back into the house. And you said something when we were talking about it. Is it his house, or is it
I think it's his house.
I thought it was a shared property. I thought they both bought it, which makes this way more
complicated. God, that would be awful. No, you know what? Maybe I missed that, but I don't know. I'm assuming it's his house.
Is it an owned home, or is it like a leased home?
I think he's renting.
I hope so. I really hope so. If they dove into a mortgage together after the train wreck.
No, you know what? That would have been more of a sticking point. And it's really funny because like we see this on other shows where it's, you know, adult women or adult men that are doing things. And you're like, why do you still fucking live with them? Like, we're doing that with VPR right now. It's like you own a house and it's a lot more complicated. I feel like that would have been more of a talking point from the other people who were talking about Trevor cheating on her.
That makes sense, actually.
Like, you live with him. You have a shared property. You shouldn't be doing any of these things. You should break your lease. You should break the mortgage. God forbid they have a mortgage together. That would be stupid. I'm assuming that it's his house and she was living with him.
That's fair. But we move on from there and we get Mikkel, who we haven't seen a lot of this season. And I want more Mikkel. I need more Mikkel on my
screen. Yeah, we need more Mikkel.
He's enjoyable. He's a fun guy to watch.
He's enjoyable, and every time that he's on screen, there's something to talk about with him. Like, he brings something up, or maybe he saw something or was there for something that he's bringing to someone else's attention. So it's not like the typical friend of that we'll usually see, where it's like, okay, we know why you're here. You're just here to like spread some information. Mm-hmm. Like we would see with JT early on with Southern Charm. It seems a little more forced. Mikel's friends with most of them.
He's friends. And when he brings shit up, like he's not afraid to say it, but it's not in a way where it's like, here's a produced moment. It's more of a way where he's like, this is going on. I'm going to call you out on it.
Yeah,
I like
exactly.
that about him.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have respect for him for that. And so do we.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, he's also good at reeling it in and apologizing when he's wrong, such as with the Brad in the alleyway thing. He's like, you know what? I was standing up for my girl. I'm sorry. I didn't see shit. So, like, we appreciate someone that can...
I feel like we're playing Clue every time we talk about Brad in the alleyway. It's like, Brad in the alleyway with a dumpster and a blowjob.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, we're playing Clue.
Dirty Clue. But they're talking about the trip to Miami, and they actually bring up the whole alleyway thing. We get more confirmation that neither of them saw shit. So it's leading more and more to the fact that Maddie was, in fact, lying. And given the way she's acting in every episode this season, I 100% believe that she made that shit up. I don't believe that Bradley got a blowjob in the alley. And I don't believe that she saw anything. But she brings up all the shit that happened when they were down in Miami, primarily about Joe. And look, we love Joe. But Joe is playing both sides of the street here. He is, and this is kind of his MO. This is what gets him into trouble. He wants everyone to be cool, and he wants to be cool with everyone. So I think that what we get from him, honestly, is like, when he has a thought come into his head, he just kind of says it, or he just does it. It's very reactionary. So, instead of like mulling over it and like letting it simmer for a sec.
Yeah, I think we can kind of read between the lines when it comes to Joe. There's two definites when it comes to what he's doing. One, he loves, whether it's friendship or whatever you might have, he loves Maddie.
Yes.
He has love for Maddie. And two, he fucking despises Trevor.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't?
Exactly. So those two things are absolutely true. The rest of it is, yes, he's trying to be cool with everybody because he hates when the group's at odds. He hates when people don't like him, of course. So it puts him in a bad position, and he's putting himself in a bad position by doing this. But he also gets rewarded to an extent because Maddie doesn't freak out at Joe about anything else that he said, and that's what the rest of the group is trying to do. They're trying to point out, hey, he was talking shit on you. He's talking shit on Trevor. Just because he showed you the text message doesn't mean that he's clean here. And Maddie gives him so much grace with that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because that's pretty much how their friendship works. And you see it at the end of the episode, too. He's included on a lot of the things that happened. So, yeah, I don't know. It's his own doing for sure. But everybody's calling him out for it right now. So it's going to make his life pretty miserable for a bit.
And I think that what we're seeing, like I said earlier, it's starting to take shape into a really good Bravo show because of a sentence that G. Lily says, and Joe actually echoes it later. G. Lily's like, I want problems to be resolved more peacefully. I want everyone to be able to get over their things because they're trivial a lot of the time. It's like, welcome to Bravo. It's never going to be easy. It's always going to be tumultuous, and that's what the viewers want. So you have entered that phase, and Joe later talks about the fact that he doesn't like that the group is fractured, that he wants this group to come back together. Again, we're seeing factions now. People are taking teams. This is what happens on a good Bravo show. So, like, it's working. I know it sucks, and I know that friendships are being lost and arguments are being had, and it's awkward and uncomfortable and tense. Welcome to Bravo.
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with this a lot more moving forward.
But moving on from there, and this is a confusing sentence to say, we get Joe Bradley are talking, and Joe feels bad about the text, about showing people the text, or I think more so the backlash he got from it, because he does say later, I would do that for any of my friends. I'd show them all the group text.
Even if I'm included in it.
Again, not the best move, but like that shows you, and I do believe that. I think that he would show anybody the text, but like, don't. You know what I mean? Don't.
Yeah, don't. Maybe, I don't know. If you think about it a little differently and you try to phrase it, because I do believe for the most part, now Brad's excluded from this because he has a vendetta against Maddie for what she did to him last year. The rest of the group is concerned.
Yeah.
In so many different ways and frustrated.
They
and
are.
When that concern and frustration kind of boils over, it comes out as mean. And they're bullying or they're talking shit in a group or whatever you might have. I think that if he had phrased it and said, you know, one, I'm not going to show you the group text because that's an invasion of privacy. But we're all a little concerned about what's going on with Trevor. And that's the other thing. We've had this conversation with Maddie 50 fucking times. It just on camera, so that means it's happened a lot more off camera. It's not going to get anywhere, so I don't understand why we're even really trying to get through to her. You could just sit back and wait for Trevor to do it again. Yeah, maybe you're not going to hear about it because Maddie's kind of distancing herself from the rest of the group with this, but eventually he's going to do something to fuck it up.
Yeah, and I think that you just need to wait for that to happen rather than inserting yourself into it. And that goes for all of the friends in the group. And I get that, like, frustration gets to a point where it boils over, where you just seeing them is going to cause some kind of reaction from you, and hearing her talk about them is going to be irritating because she has blinders on and rose-colored glasses. Like, yes, that's going to be infuriating. I know people like that. Drives me nuts. So I get it. But at the same time, if she really is your friend, and I do believe that they all care about her because that's where this all stemmed from, is we're worried about Maddie.
Right.
At a certain point, you got to let it go, because by involving yourself and inserting yourself, you're pushing her towards Trevor, who is so excited to be able to frame this whole thing as this crazy plot, which we're going to get into shortly, yeah, which I can't wait to get into. But the next scene, we get Emmy and Will, and Will's out of the sling and headed to law school. Now, before I dive in, Shooter Magooter.
Okay.
I would like your take on this scene. As
putting on your therapist hat?
Yeah, that's why I'm rolling my sleeves up.
Okay,
that's okay. I want to hear your take on where these two people are.
It's hard to say. So I would say at a base level, I was a little concerned with the way that this conversation was going. Mm-hmm. Not from Emmy's standpoint, mm-mm, because Emmy is sitting there like, look, I'm very much a person that likes to live in the present. I don't like to look too far ahead or plan that much. She just wants to have fun while they can. Mm-hmm. Like, we live in the same town for now, and you're going to be moving, but it's not that big of a deal. It's an hour and a half away. Who the fuck cares? This is the first time that they've ever actually said, oh, yeah, it's like an hour and a half away. That's like driving to the shore for us.
It's what, Columbia is where USC
yeah
is?
Yeah. So if I was dating a girl that was living an hour and a half away, and I wanted to make it work, I would make it work. It's
that's
not
feasible.
That difficult.
That's very feasible.
It's very feasible. And there's technology now that you can call and FaceTime as much as you want.
Get out of town.
Isn't that crazy?
Get right out of
that's
town.
That's pretty crazy. So Emmy's sitting there saying, yeah, we're going to make it work, but let's just live in the moment for now and enjoy ourselves while we can, because you're going to have a lot of homework, you're going to have a lot of shit going on, and you're going to be living an hour and a half away. Will sitting on the other side saying, I think that you're being a little ignorant towards what's going on. That's fucking insane, dude. Like, why
I don't
are you not
feel heard?
Yeah, like, come bro. On. You're not going across the country. You're not like ready to have this conversation of, you know what, maybe we should just break up for the time being while I go through law school, and we'll figure it out. And if we're still there for each other after, like, that's the vibe I was getting
thank
from
you
him.
Yep.
That's
yep
for sure the vibe I was getting.
You,
and I
yeah
didn't understand it, because that's the thing that I kind of battle with, is they've been together for so long that I'm like, maybe I'm just not getting it because I'm on a completely different wavelength and they know each other. But I was having a really hard time with the way that Emmy was presenting it. And it was like, she's just getting knocked down just because she wants to enjoy herself for now.
And hang out with
and
you.
Hang out with you. Like, that's the only, like, if you guys were both dreading it, then yeah, it would be a much different conversation. She's not dreading it at all.
No,
and
she's
not
excited.
Downplaying it at all. She's excited for you. One, because she thinks that you going to law school is hot. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet, dude. Just yeah fucking lean into that. Two, you're going to be an hour and a half away. It's not that big of a deal. So for him to sit on the other side and be like, you're not being realistic about what's going to happen, what then, you know, you be realistic about what's going to happen. What is going to happen?
That's
what are you going to do at law school?
Perfectly phrased.
Yeah. I felt
what
bad
do you think's going to happen? I knew that you'd be on the same page as me on this. That's why I
tried
you to
too, and I tried to be bipartisan in thinking, maybe I just don't understand the dynamics of their relationship, but
no, he's framing it intentionally
in
a certain way.
This conversation is the dynamic of their relationship.
Yes.
Like, what is and we also, in our back pocket, have the conversation that he had with his dad earlier in the season.
Right.
Where he's talking to his dad about, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen. I just need to focus on law school. I'm not really concerned about the Emmy of it all. Again, you've been together for so long. Like, just fucking survive. Figure it out.
That's it.
The other thing is, law school, you know, it's a couple months out of the year. Guess where you're going to be in the meantime? Back to Charleston.
Yeah. And look,
Christmas break. Like, there's a lot of times that you can go back.
And I know
it's not that big of a deal.
Law school is like a huge workload. I understand that. And like, you know, Kev fucking works like 85 hours
a week. Shout out Kev.
Shout out Kev. So, like, I get it that your schedule is going to be fucked and you're going to have a lot of shit to do. But she's on board. She's more excited about
yeah
this than you are. And it's just, to me, the vibe I got was he's setting up the framework for a classic dude move, and I'm sorry I'm outing dudes here, but you just slowly like place little feelers out there and slowly distance yourself a little bit until the person that you're trying to distance yourself from says, is everything okay? Or they make a move to possibly distance themselves, and you go, ah, okay. And then you don't have to break up with them.
There is a possibility that we're looking at this wrong.
Okay.
Maybe Will is actually concerned about the strain of his relationship during this. And this is his defense mechanism.
Which is fair.
That could be it. That's the only other, like, look, I don't want to paint him as a dick.
I don't either.
And say that he's doing that because that's not my intention at all. It was just a really weird conversation to watch. I think it could be closer to that where he's a little afraid of what's going to happen because, I mean, Emmy's got this new job, which we find out at the end of the episode. He's going to be going to law school. He's going to be an hour and a half away, but he's going to be engulfed in law school and doing all of the work that comes along with it. Maybe he's a little afraid, and this is just something that's boiling up where he's got this defense mechanism that's just popping out.
That's very plausible.
I would say that in a nutshell. But again, I go back to the conversation with his dad. I'm like, you're talking to your dad now.
Right.
About this on camera, too, nonetheless. So right. That's a little weird to me, too. So I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of it.
I don't know. And I'm not saying that he's not into the relationship. All I'm saying is that's what it looked like. And that's why I didn't want to say my piece until you said yours.
Yeah.
Because I thought that you'd have the same thought process. Dev had the same thought process. So
it was just weird.
It was an interesting convo, but
usually you don't see a conversation where somebody is that supportive of you and what you're doing, and your reaction is, well, you know, I don't know. I think you're being a little ignorant about this.
I feel unheard right now. She's supporting you and trying to be excited about
being
in the
moment. Exactly
what
you want when you're chasing your dreams. You're going to go somewhere else and go do what you want to do with your life. I'm here to support you. Well, I don't feel heard.
Yeah, I feel like you're discounting my feelings right now.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut up. She's supportive. She's doing her thing. You go do yours. Just shut up, dude. Fuck. But anyway, we get Joe and TJ at Joe's beach house, and we find out that the moms hang out, which is actually kind of funny that Joe and TJ are obviously very close, and their moms are very close.
Well, mom friendship.
We got to see Joe's awkward phase, which was very funny.
Looking like a rabbit. Jojo rabbit.
Oof. That might stick. But even the moms are saying, like, you can't please everybody all the time. There seems to be a recurring theme with Joe Bradley, and I think it's going to rear its head multiple times, and we're going to see him get in the middle of shit that he doesn't need to be in the middle of because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just in these moments, dude, like, take yourself out of it. Think about it before you dive in. Don't react and just say shit or show a group text and screen the person from the shit you said in that group text because it is going to come back. And I would be shocked if Maddie doesn't bring up the fact that Joe talks shit in that text. It's baffling to me that she hasn't brought it up yet, but the only thing I can think of, she has one friend left. She's got Trevor and Joe Bradley,
yep,
which is also hysterical because Trevor and Joe Bradley don't get along. So, like, the whole thing is toxic as shit, and if you were smart, you would remove yourself from the equation entirely, but since you want to be a good friend to Maddie, just don't give her more than you need to, because
it's not only that,
hot water.
It's not doing herself any favors emotionally, because you want to be that close to Maddie while she's in a toxic relationship with Trevor.
Absolutely.
You should be distancing yourself from Maddie. And then if she is as good a friend as you think she is, as you hope she is, she'll turn around and say, wow, my last friend, well, I guess Grace Lily is also a friend, but my last good friend with Joe is now distancing himself from me. Mm. Maybe I need to look inward. Maybe I need to figure this out.
Might be, yeah.
And that could be the final straw that actually pushes that. But I also understand, you know, it's got to be a fucking tough call because you just want to be friends with everybody and you want everybody to have a good time. Doesn't work on Bravo.
Doesn't work in life, actually.
It can work in life.
That doesn't work.
I do that. Kidding me?
You do, and there's times that it doesn't work.
Well, then I just disappear, and then I don't have to deal with it.
I'm aware of the Magoot method. Not a huge fan, by the way. It has reared its head a couple times. Love you to pieces, and we'll defend you to the end of the
earth. I don't have to worry about it.
Fuck you, dude. Oh, I wish I could tell some stories. I'm not going to. But the next scene, we get Bradley and Lucia, and let me just say, Bradley, if you're listening, lock it down. Lock this relationship down. She's cool as shit. Like, she understands it. Like, she gets it. She's not pushing too hard. She understands where Bradley's coming from. Like, this chat they had on the beach was so mature. And I appreciate that Bradley in his confessionals, like, you know, dating a woman with a child is terrifying, which, yeah, I'm sure it is. It's a very, very scary concept. I'm sure once you're around the kid, you'd be like, oh, this is cool. But the fact that Lucia is not pushing it because she's aware of the fact that she has a child and doesn't want to bring some random dude around if he's not going to be there long term. Love that. I love that she's not like, we need to be exclusive immediately. Let's just see where the next 30 days go. And Bradley's not like, fuck yeah, dude, I get to be whoever I want to be for the next 30 days. He's like, I'm looking forward to these 30 days so we can get closer and maybe there is something. It was really delightful.
It was really nice, and usually those conversations do not go that way, and I was waiting for it to take a turn, and it never took a turn. I was waiting for the conversation last week to take a turn, and it didn't take a turn.
I know.
I'm very confused.
I don't know
what the fuck is going on. You're talking about transparency in relationships early on?
On Bravo?
With no expectations, low pressure? I don't get it. I didn't know people did that.
Put a ring on it, Brad.
Yeah. Well, all right. Fucking chill out, dude.
Did I scare you?
No.
Oh, God.
Not me. No, you're not scaring me. But let them live. They're having a good low-pressure time. We don't need pressure from Steel.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you back the fuck off, pal.
You settle down. I'm just excited because I see the prospect of a healthy relationship, and that's few and far between in these streets of Bravo.
I know.
Okay? Look across the road at Maddie and fucking Trev. I was going to call him Trev McGee, but that's too close to Magoots. I didn't want to disrespect you. I didn't do it.
Gross.
You need to relax now. All right, I'm going to send you over to the main line to hang out with fucking Trevor in his parents' house. But
Steele, I want you to do something for me.
All right, shoot.
I want you to imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt.
Okay, I'm picturing them.
Now imagine that they get softer and softer every time that you wash them.
Well, that's just impossible.
I'm talking about Boll & Branch. And with Boll & Branch sheets, you can discover this new level of softness. In a recent customer survey, 96% said that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash.
That sounds delightful. Simply delightful.
It truly is delightful. And Boll & Branch was nice enough to send Steele and I a set of their signature sheets. And let me tell you, they're incredible. They've changed my sleeping experience. They've upped my game.
I've washed them twice, and it's comparable to like when you stay in a nice hotel and you get in bed and you're like, ooh, like that buttery feeling, you know?
It really is. Honestly, it motivates me to make my bed every morning because I know when I get in bed at night, I'm going to feel soft. I'm going to feel cozy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Boll & Branch can do for you. And that's what they're here to do for everyone. You too can sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code BRAVBROS at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L. ANDBranch.com. Promo code BRAVBROS. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
Speaking of, we get to Trevor and Maddie, and they're at dinner, and they're back together, and this is where we get to talk about plotting. Because this is the perfect situation for Trevor to weasel his way in, say what he wants to say, and Maddie's going to buy it. She's back in the house. They're back together. Relationship's back on. And he gets in her ear. Everyone's out to get us. Everyone's talking shit. They're plotting against us. Guys, let me be the one to tell you. No one gives a fuck about either of you. The only time they think about you is when you're around or something dumb happens because of Trevor. They're not wasting their time at Republic talking about you guys unless you walk in the room and they're reminded. Like, the fact that they think they take up space in people's brain is hysterical. And I don't understand where this, like, ego came from Maddie. Because last year she was great. And I want to blame it on Trevor, honestly, because I don't understand what I'm watching.
Yeah, I definitely think you can. And this was one of those scenes where it's very apparent what his intentions are.
Oh, yeah.
Because any good boyfriend, any healthy boyfriend would have sat there and said, this fucking sucks. Like, what are we going to do?
You lost
all of your friends. We need to figure this out. Like, yes. Do you want to sit down with someone? Maybe we start to bring them in one by one. You start to brainstorm some way to have some semblance of a relationship with people. Clearly, Trevor doesn't care about his image. Like, these are her friends. These are people that she's close to. And he doesn't give a shit that they all think that he's a lying scumbag. So I don't really understand it. Like, I mean, I do understand it because he's twisting it into a very manipulative situation. And I am really going to blame Trevor for Maddie's downfall because she was great last year. And as soon as he came into the picture, as soon as we were introduced to him last year in his stupid bike taxi, she's gone downhill ever since.
I agree.
And it's just tough to watch. And him trying to twist this into a, it's just us against the world, babe. Like, no, it's not. Like, what are you, fucking 25 years old?
What are you, Bonnie and fucking Clyde? Yeah,
it's not you against the world as a 25-year-old couple in Charleston. I just made that up, but they might be. It's just fucking ludicrous, the whole thing.
It is. And his big moment, his big smoking gun, the thing that's going to blow this shit wide open, is a recorded phone call from Sammy. Which, in the recorded phone call, it says, are you filming right now? Implying to me, are you recording this? And he says, no. And then proceeds to record it, which is illegal.
Yes.
So that's fucked. But regardless, I will say, I guess it's not, we've done this before, and people pointed out, like, it's not illegal in all 50 states, just certain states, which I think is semantics. But regardless, it's fucked up. And this is supposed to be like the smoking gun. This is going to convince Maddie that everyone's out to get her and that Bradley put this whole plan in play with this girl that he trains. That's not what I heard. What I heard is, I don't want to get involved. I shouldn't have answered the phone. That's all I heard. I didn't hear shit else.
It was weird because before they went to commercial break, and we're jumping between two scenes, but we'll make sure we fill in the gaps here. Before they went to commercial break, on the snippet of audio that we got, it just sounded like Sammy was saying, I don't really want to get involved. And then we come back and I'm like, all right, well, how is Brad implicated in this at all?
Mm-hmm.
And then she mentions Brad by name, but it's still forced by Trevor.
Agreed.
My curious thought is, one, this is a very clean cut audio.
Yep.
Where did it start? Why didn't it start in the beginning of the conversation? What happened before then? Did she ever say, yes, Brad and I sat down and he sent me after you? No. Also, if I'm remembering correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong here.
I will.
Sammy and Trevor met out while Trevor was out with all of his friends, right?
Yes.
And, you know, you can say that maybe there's a coincidence in there and it wasn't a coincidence that she was at the same bar that he was at the same time. Is fucking Brad sitting there telling her, hey, you got to go to this bar at this time and you got to flirt with him to see what happens? No. There was a whole mystery around whether or not Trevor and Sammy hooked up. Did that happen because Brad was pulling the strings and he did all of that?
No.
No. Also, and this is my biggest question, how the fuck did you get her number? Well, you just had her number? What? I know Charleston's small.
No, they were texting. They were texting.
They were texting. I know.
Oh,
so what I'm saying is, if this is all a setup and you were actually just trying to hook up with his friend, which supposedly, according to his scumbag friend, you guys did hook up, or you were trying to hook up with him.
No,
whatever.
We told your scumbag.
Why the fuck? I've been out with my boys before, and if somebody's going to hook up with somebody else, I don't get her number. I'm not texting her that night.
I've been out with you multiple times, and not one time have I ever gotten a number from a girl that you're talking to. Because that would be fucking weird.
That would be bizarre. Not even that. I'm not texting that girl later into the night, or the next day, or the next day, saying, hey, what are you doing?
Are you playing cool?
That girl's not texting me and saying, hey, do you want to hang out? My first question would be, I thought you were into my buddy. Why are you texting me?
Oh, interesting take.
Like, none of this adds up. So, no, it's all bullshit. My theory is that Trevor called her or texted her or sat down with her or whatever. Maybe there was some money involved. Hey, I'll pay you off if you just say this on
this
the phone.
Is getting deep.
Or I've got a favor. I can do another favor for you. Like, whatever else you really want here. It looks like this girl's going to be in the season finale, so we might get some more answers out of that. But all of these things combined, Brad doesn't give that much of a shit.
That's what I'm saying.
He wants revenge on Maddie for what happened last year. Sure, I don't blame him for that.
I don't think it's revenge. I think he wants to feel
That's
vindicated.
He's vindicated. Anything else is revenge after this, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because it doesn't make any sense that Maddie would make that up in the first place to try to break him up with the girl that he was dating at the time. That's all bullshit, too. I don't really get how everybody is immediately thinking, and Joe wasn't really taking the bait in this conversation. He's wondering why the fuck, like, Brad's involved at all. Like, just because you train this girl, like, you're not, like, some master puppeteer sending people out to go do this. Right. None of it makes sense. But Maddie believes it.
Yes, she does.
And when Trevor's going through all of it, what is Trevor looking at while he's talking to Maddie about all of this whole story? Not her.
Oh, no.
His eyes are all the way up here. And we know from Austin.
Austin told
us. When you're lying, your eyes go up into the left.
Craig told us about Austin. Yep. Yeah, that's where you look. So,
and he's not making eye contact. Maddie is staring at him intently while he's telling this story. He's looking over here.
You know what the most damning,
he's making it up.
The most damning evidence to me was?
What?
When the phone call ends or whatever, and they're just sitting there at the table, and she's like, oh, I'm going to blow it up. I'm going to go tell him, blah, blah, blah. And he says, it's best if he thinks he won.
Yep.
He wants to sweep this shit under the rug. He got it settled to a point. He's like, okay, let's move on. Let's not dig any further into this, because if you keep pulling at these cards, this house of cards is going to fall.
And this is why he's such a fucking idiot, because guess what? She moved back in with you. The relationship's back on. You guys can just move forward. You don't need this quote-unquote evidence.
Nope. You're doing too much, my guy.
You bring this in like just to vindicate yourself, and you can lay it to bed finally. Did you not realize that she's going to go after everybody else now? And she's going to go make sure that everybody understands exactly what happened, if you're assuming that this is what happened. Like, the whole fucking thing is so stupid.
Chickens will come home to roost, sir.
I just wish Maddie was smarter.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to watch, because I like Maddie. I just want her to get back to Maddie from season one, because Trevor Maddie is a bummer. But we got a quick scene with Mia and Troy, and it was super cute, but like, and I really like Mia. And I usually like these scenes, but I was like, I don't care.
I don't care.
Like, I'm happy that she found a guy. She deserves it. She's fantastic. Troy seems like a keeper. Like, he actually has his shit together.
Mia needs to get back to working at
she
Republic.
She needs to go to Republic, she, right? Or somewhere down there, another restaurant.
Yeah.
Bubbles, Bourbon and Bubbles.
Well, that's also a Leva bar. That's so what I mean. I don't know if that
she needs
work.
To get back in with the team.
She has to. Like, that is, I don't want to say Oisin was right, but she doesn't work there.
She doesn't, and he wasn't right in that scene. But no, it does, not at all. Look, it just creates a weird rift when you're watching the show, like the continuity of it as you're watching. You're like, oh yeah, shit, Mia, like, what are you up to? You're not working here anymore. And that's the funny thing about it all, is like, she doesn't have to. She has like a job where she makes good money. But just the dynamics of the group get kind of frayed when it's like we jump over. You're like, oh fuck, I forgot that Mia's involved.
Yeah,
and she brings a lot.
She has a guy that she's dating who doesn't live in Charleston.
He also doesn't live there. So now you're doing a long-distance relationship with a cast member we don't see a whole lot. And especially a cast member that can bring a lot. We saw her. Like, she brings a lot to the group when she's around the group. She causes a little shit. She stands up for herself, which I love to see. She's not afraid to talk smack in like, Oisin's face. Like, you come at me, I'm going to come back at you. I need more of that, but she needs to be in the group more.
Yeah, she needs to be in the group more. And the only thing that I can think of is before the season started, obviously she was part of it and she's a full-time cast member and they didn't plan on her getting fired.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
So it's like, all right, we got to hit our Mia quota. What's she up to? Oh, she's hanging out, which I always fucking love these scenes. I love it when the cameras are in the room and they're like, oh, I just woke up. It's like, okay, you had to go let the cameras in.
Yeah, you let the cameras
in. Now we're going to go back to bed and you guys are going to act like you just woke up.
And you have full makeup on.
Yeah. Like, it's too funny.
I woke up like this. But the next scene is when we get the Maddie and Joe conversation in regards to the recording on the phone and all that this scene that we can, we already touched on most of it, but all this scene really told me Maddie's in a bad place.
Yeah.
She even says, like, I'm about to have a mental breakdown. You know, we talked about it last week. The common denominator here rhymes with Schmever. But regardless, like, she's going through a ton of shit. And I just don't think she can see through the woods. And I think that, you know, is he handling it perfectly? No. But I do think that Joe's just trying to help her through. I think he recognizes. I think everyone, here's the thing. I think everybody recognizes the shitstorm that she's in the middle of. And she's reached the point with the other friends in the group where they're now mad because she won't hear any reason. I don't think Joe is capable of abandoning ship on a friend where he's like, I can't leave her high and dry because she is going through this shit. I'm going to try to see her through it. Whereas the other people are like, we've told you what's up. We're trying to let you know, like, this needs to change. You refuse to change. We can't be involved anymore.
Yeah. And I do want to give props to Joe during this scene because, I mean, he's at odds with, you know, the Brad, the Will, the Emmy of the group because of what he did with showing Maddie the text messages. But even during this, and obviously you're the only person that's at Republic currently. I mean, she could show Grace Lily this, but you know what you're going to get out of Grace Lily when you show her this. She's going to go scorched earth.
Yep.
She's going to say you need to go after Brad right now,
yep.
Which is not what you want.
Nope.
And this is honestly why you're losing your job. But Joe comes into this, and instead of him completely heel turning and joining Maddie's team, if you will, he still had some pause for concern. And it has to do with the fact that he fucking hates Trevor. And he knows that Trevor's bad for Maddie. He's still going to be there for Maddie. But during all of this, his logic kicks in.
Yeah,
like, there's just no way that Brad, in his confessional, obviously he's a little more boisterous about this, saying, who am I going to pick between Brad and Trevor? Obviously Brad. But during the conversation, he doesn't immediately say, oh, well, that's insane that Brad would do something like that. Like, we need to talk to him about this. Like, that's crazy. Or completely backing anything up that Maddie's saying. He knows in that moment, all right, like, do we really think Brad's capable of this? Do we, like,
this is a crazy.
This
premise.
Is fucking insane. Yeah. Like, are we sure about this? I don't really understand how any of this is happening. So I'm going to give him props for that, because even though Brad is currently pissed at him, he didn't heel turn. He sat there and he's still using his logic. And look, I mean, him and Brad will get through it. We saw Brad talk about it in a confessional. They're already through it. They're completely fine. That's what happens. Like, yeah, you're going to be at odds for a week or two until somebody apologizes or whatever might happen. He's still not going to turn on his boy.
No.
Especially in a situation like this where it's very clearly fucking insane.
It's wild. And yeah, you stick by your bros.
Stick
by your bros.
Bros knows.
Bros know. But we get a scene with Leva and Emmy, and we find out that Emmy is going to be the AGM, the assistant general manager, which puts her in charge of all of the staff. And we all saw it coming. I didn't know that she was going to get AGM, but
I didn't know she was going to get double jump.
I didn't either, but I knew she was going to get promoted. And it just, look at why. This is the funniest part, and I'm going to just lump it in together, because Joe's reaction and Maddie's reaction was fucking terrible. If you guys really think that she doesn't deserve the promotion, you haven't been paying attention. Like, she's putting in the effort. She's putting in the time. She gives a fuck. Maddie, you're a quote-unquote DJ at the bar you work at, and when you're not there, you're so concerned about Trevor and other people's perception of Trevor. That's the thing. If you were in a good relationship, you wouldn't give a fuck what people say about your boyfriend. But you're not, so you're so concerned about everyone else and what they have to say. You're gaslighting yourself into not showing up for work. You're not seeming to be present when you are there. You can't assume that you're going to keep moving up the ladder, or that you're going to be the bitch in charge of the bitch, as you like to say all the time, if you're not showing up and doing your fucking job.
Yeah, I kind of get it from, and look, I fucking love office drama like this. Like, this is what it is. It's office drama.
I'm so glad I don't work in an office.
Somebody got the promotion that you felt like you deserved. I thought it was a little, Lev has been on reality TV for a long time. She knows how to play it up for the cameras.
It's a move.
This is certainly not how this works.
No, it's
especially the sit down promotion where you have like the dramatic pause of, you're not going to get Maddie's job. You're going to get a better job, and we're going to put you above her, and now you're in charge of her.
And like, you get a car, and you get a car.
Levin knows that this is going to fucking, everything's going to hit the fan.
Oh, it's a move.
However, there's a CEO there, there's a manager there, or there's a general manager there, and you're there to oversee everything. So yes, it is a move for the show, and that's entirely fine, because as we both said, and we both agree, Emmy has been showing up. So the biggest concern here is, yeah, Maddie is completely engulfed in all the Trevor things outside of work, but she's leaving work early, and production could be playing it up a little bit. I can't imagine that she's just in and out all the time because of the Trevor nonsense.
I don't think so either.
But she's there. She does it enough. It puts things into concern. Like, if you're at work and you're leaving all the time, not because you have a family emergency, not because somebody's sick, not because you're sick, you're leaving because your boyfriend's a piece of shit and you want to go call him out, that's not good for work.
That's a bad reason.
That's a bad reason to be there. And yes, you want to further your DJ career, so you should just be happy that you have that job and you're DJing on the side. They're allowing you to further your DJ career there. You shouldn't be looking at assistant general manager, because guess what? You can't be an AGM while you're DJing twice a week.
Correct.
It's just not feasible. So if they can get out of that and realize, hey, Emmy's showing up for work, things run smoother when Emmy's here. Yeah, obviously there's going to be a bit of a power struggle. There's going to be a bit of a growing pain when it comes to Emmy, and she's going to be talking to people a little differently, but she needs to figure out how to do her fucking job and not overstep, which I think she's going to overstep a little bit, because obviously there's personal relationships and she knows how Joe and Maddie feel. But I love the office drama. I can't get past it. It's super fun.
It's palpable office drama.
Yep.
I just wish that, you know, because this takes us into Circus Night, the 10-year party for Republic's been around for 10 years, which is great. Congratulations to Leva. But Leva arrives and drops the bomb that Emmy is the new assistant general manager, and there is mixed reviews around the room. You see Joe and Maddie are literally biting their tongue to not respond or react to it. Bradley is laughing, which I thought was really fucking funny. But it just kind of trickles down from there, because the reactions after that, That's what pissed me off. Like, I can understand if you're upset that you feel that somebody got promoted instead of you. I did have to deal with that in baseball. Somebody got called up and I thought I deserved it. So, like, I do get that aspect of it.
That's office drama.
But I didn't walk around moping and talking shit to my teammates, and especially if I knew I was being recorded.
Yeah.
It's just the optics of it. Like, you look like a bitch if you're going to sit behind the DJ booth and say, she's not my boss. Like,
but it does happen. That literally is
your boss.
I know, but that is very true. Like, that shit really does happen. This isn't a reality show. That's why I love this shit, because I've seen that happen before, and people do mope around. Most people, if they get passed up for some sort of promotion by somebody else that they're at odds with. No, dude, they do it in the office.
Why?
Because they're idiots.
That's dumb.
I know, and everybody can tell, but it's funny. It's really funny.
It's funny, and it was entertaining to watch.
I'm okay with it because, look, Joe and Maddie, they're on a show. And, look, I think that Joe understands he's on a TV show, so he might be playing it up a little bit. Maddie's just pissed at the world right now. There's nothing you can really do about that, so I think that's very real. Bradley laughing is the actual real aspect of all of this, because it is really funny when shit like that happens. And yeah, people do mope around and they complain, and they will bend anybody's ear if they'll hear.
And like, fun. I can see that happening. I guess it just compounds all of the issues that I'm having with Maddie and all of the shit that Joe continues to get himself into. It's like, it's just putting you in a bad spot. You're so concerned about being a good friend. Will and Emmy are your close friends, and now you're seeing Will is literally reading your lips and doing it very well. He says verbatim what you said. So, like, this is just making you look like shit. And again, it just feels like it's to appease Maddie, to make her.
No. I think Joe's pissed off because I absolutely think
that he's pissed off because he got jumped.
Yeah.
I'm saying he's in Maddie's ear all the time because it's like this little faction, this little group.
Well, they can commiserate together. Because
are you on their fucking team?
I'm telling you that this is a real situation.
I'm not saying
it's first off, I don't think that Emmy should have gone from where she was to AGM. That's insane.
Cool. Not your call to make.
I understand that. I think that Leva was doing it for the show.
Great. Doesn't matter.
Whose team are you on, pal?
Logic. She's the fucking boss now. Whether you like it or not, it's the same shit I had to deal with in baseball. But if someone got called up,
why are you yelling?
I didn't get called up.
We need to, you need to keep it at an even keel here, pal.
Now you got me amped
up. You need to keep it at an even keel. It's Valentine's Day. You need to relax.
I got passed over for a kid that couldn't catch a fucking ball
my first season
in pro ball, okay? And it drove me crazy. But you know what I did? I showed up early to the field the next day.
Didn't say
a fucking word. I went home and was pissed. I didn't go home and cry, but I was home and I was mad. Woke up the next day, went to the batting cage at like 7 a.m. and got my shit together.
All right, this isn't about you, man.
Dude.
I haven't gotten this going in a while.
I know. My point is, you got to grin and bear some shit. I get you can bitch and moan, but it looks really bad. And it would look so much better if you just... Dude, you know what? It's the Oscars when you lose. The smile and the clap. Don't let the camera hit you when you're fucking bitching, because it looks bad.
As Jay-Z said, all award shows are bullshit anyway.
Irrelevant to the point. Fuck you. Let's go to questions. All right, up first from Southwest Sandy, Trevor was at the reunion, ?
That's the word on the street is maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Mayhaps.
So they did release the looks today.
Okay.
Which I didn't get into, so I will do that as the resident fashionista. I will get into the looks at some point. The word is he may have been there, but we're not really sure what's going on with Maddie and Trevor, because, I mean, I looked at her Instagram. I didn't see Trevor really anywhere, and it sounds like last night she was kind of dodging some questions, so I don't really know. I mean, it would be weird if they were broken up and Trevor was there. It would be really funny for me. I hope. Steele and I have gone back and forth on this a little bit. Are you steadfast in the thought that Trevor should be at the reunion to answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so am I. That's where I am, too. I also think it would just make for very good TV to watch him answer and actually interact with the group, because we never get to see him interact with the group. He pulls up in his drop-top rented Audi, but he's, you know, a mile away for some reason.
Yeah, because he...
That also didn't really make any sense. Let's go back to that. That didn't make any sense.
It makes total sense.
You pull up in front of the fucking restaurant. Why you pull up a mile away?
Because he's softer than baby shit. Yeah, My man, Charmin. Ultra soft.
Charmin soft.
Yeah, real soft. That's why.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's do one more from DGM362. Do you think that Mia will be back next year if she doesn't get back into Republic?
I'm going to say no, but I think that they'll find a way to get her back into Republic. The other thing is, though, there's a lot of people that work there, so I feel like there's probably more people that want to be on the show.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not like there's not like a bench, if you will, that you can kind of just call somebody up and have somebody. I mean, we saw Oisin just come out of nowhere this year, and he just got hired. So
he came from Tulum.
Yeah, that's the type of thing with these types of shows, like VPR early on, too. Like, you can kind of just plug new people in that are, you know, bartenders, waiters, whatever they might be, bottle boys. Just throw them in there and just see if they stick. As long as they have some sort of relationship with the rest of the crew, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, she's done enough in 2 years where I think that she deserves to come back.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
She deserves a shot. It's just if she doesn't get hired back, I'm not against not having her.
It's just more like, how do you work her back into the group as a mainstay, not just like, oh, yeah, Mia. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because a lot of the scenes do happen at Republic, and if she's not there,
it makes a difference.
Tough, yeah.
Like, even the one trip they went on, like, the first thing that was highlighted from Oisin was like, you don't even work here anymore.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Again, he was a dick, but you don't...
But he's not wrong.
It's just confusing.
Yeah.
I want her... Put it that way. I want her to be back at Republic because I like Mia and would like her to continue to be a cast member on this show.
Agreed.
But, got anything else?
Not about Soho, no.
Well, make sure that you get your tickets to our live show March 6th, City Winery in Philadelphia. It is a Wednesday night. Tickets are going fast, so get your tickets ASAP. Should we announce the other one?
We have two more to announce, so I mean...
Oh, yeah. Well, announce the one.
We'll announce the one.
Not the other one.
Okay.
That one's not announceable yet.
Okay.
The first
one is announceable. Which is later. Tickets, I believe, are on sale tomorrow, if you're listening to this now.
What's today?
Today is Wednesday.
Thursday. You're listening Thursday.
So tomorrow.
Fuck.
This is a cluster.
Friday. Tickets are on sale Friday for
Boston.
Yeah, baby.
So we put the poll out. You guys responded, thankfully. That's what we wanted. And we got a little data analytics going for us. We're going to be in Boston, 6/14. That's June 14th. And coincidentally, it has to do with when the Phillies are playing in Boston as well.
Yeah, baby.
So the boys are going to make a couple days out of it.
Yeah, we're gonna have a little trip up there to Beantown.
But oh, yeah.
It is a Friday night, our first ever Friday night show, so you have no excuse. You have no work the next day. You have nothing else to do. It's a Saturday the next day. Come hang out with us on Friday night. It's going to be a blast. And it is at our home turf, the City Winery, so we are familiar with multiple City Wineries. They all tend to be relatively similar as far as the room goes.
They sure do.
Super excited. I love Boston. That's actually, did you know, little fun fact for you, I was drafted sitting in the away clubhouse at Fenway Park when I got drafted by the Orioles.
Pretty cool. We'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, maybe we'll go check it out.
Little history moment.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, anyway.
keep doing this.
Go get those ticks, baby. Get them tickets for Philly first, then Boston second. But keep a lookout for a third show that we have booked, but we're not allowed to announce it yet. And I know I say it all the time, just keep checking in, keep paying attention, because we have a lot of locations coming up. We're trying to make this a once-a-month thing, so keep your nose to the, your ear to the grindstone, as it were.
Nose to the grindstone?
Keep your attention to the wind, and the Brav Bros are out of here.
Bye.
Hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.